Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Loads of feedback following our interview with Tony Canavan. It's a big issue. It's a, I hope I did it justice and the point was gotten across. How further on are we? Probably no further on, but I think it's always good to get stuff on the record, get things clarified and know where we're at. I'm just going to read these texts as they came in, by the way. Very good interview this morning, Greg. Well done, but that man is not for turning, as the saying goes. I think I would agree with that assessment. Tony would make a better politician than a doctor. He talked for an hour and was still no wiser as to why Letterkenny's been deliberately deprived of funding. I think the answers were in there, if you listen back again. Because the belief is that, you know, there's been significant funding over the last 5 years and the minister used the same line. There was another thing too, I just wanted to reference here, and it's not to stir, okay, at all, but it's in relation to the, in case I got the sentiment wrong from Minister Charlie McConnell Logue. This is the statement that was released following that first meeting with Tony Canavan. I've made it clear to the HSE that Donegal must have a surgical hub and that nothing less will be acceptable. All Donegal public representatives are united on this and met recently with HSE regional management, who agreed at the meeting to review their decision. Okay, so that's very categorically come in from... I do have access to that... what was said then in that subsequent interview. Let me have a look here. I'll find it somewhere. I think it's going to be in there, I think. No, where is it? It's kind of lost it. I'll find it anyway. Maybe Donald will come in, Caroline, just to pull up that audio link for me, and I'll get back to that in a moment. As I say, it's just, I think it's important to get both statements on the record at the same time, because... from my understanding, both have difficult interpretations of it. Where's the fair care in this country? Looks like Donegal is way down the list. Can you congratulate Greg on that interview? And he did a great job. There were many great questions. Thanks so much for that. It's just to try and do it on your behalf. Donald, I'm just looking for that clip that you played at 10 of Tony Canavan, please, if that's all right. Donegal doctors and nurses do their best, Tony Canavan says, and he's correct, but he's basically saying we should be happy with that. Forget about the fact that we get less money per patient in our hospital. Tony Canavan had made the hole much, much deeper with his interview. Great, great clarity for us, says that listener. Another, we now see the true thinking of government policies for Donegal. He reflects the attitude which is across all levels of state bodies. But sure, we'll re-elect government politicians who are hiding from Highland Radio in the public. The plan is to stay dumb and it'll pass over before the next election. Donegal is five government TDs and senators. Well, they're five elected, they aren't government, but I take your point. Have any of them come forward? Are they hiding the carpet piles of the Dáil? They aren't on this instance. All of the politicians, now obviously Minister McConnell chooses not to speak to me personally, but I can say that he is working and has been working very hard on this, as has all other four TDs and our senators. So on this instance, they haven't been hiding anywhere, to be honest with you. Hi, could you ask your listeners, is anyone experiencing no internet in the Carrigot Downings area? And with there, thank you. I can tell you for a fact, I think a digger went through a pipe. There's loads of people out down there, and it's been reported to, it doesn't matter who your provider is, it's been reported, and Vodafone and Air and all the other suppliers saying they're getting on it. There is an internet outage down there. It seems to have coincided with a bit of work that was going on in the area. I'm not quite sure, but anyway, it's been reported. But report it yourself as well too. The more that report it, the more chance there is of it getting back on. Let me see. Unfortunately, as a healthcare worker, and why the biggest drawback for getting anything for LUH is coming from the top, they're out of touch. Out of date, a yes man, didn't even look for the hub in Letterkenny. That's what's really regrettable, is that the hub was never really, on the cards, it would seem, for Letterkenny, which is really quite regrettable, isn't it? We were never at the races. We were sort of wondering, might it be us? But it was never really on the cards. Let me see. Morning all, could you ask Tony if there's time, does he know anything about the hiring ban that they don't call an embargo within the home care support division? I know about this myself, by the way. This is in place for Donegal only for almost a year. We have locums attending to our family member and they are burnt out working 6, 7, 8 days in a row because there's not enough of them to cover holiday leave and sudden leave. Wonderful ladies, I feel no one is speaking up for them. Thank you. Well, I did raise this quite specifically with the HSE rep with responsibility to older people's older persons. In terms of increased home care packages and increased home care hours, the budget has been exhausted for this year, so it's just simply not there at the moment. Right, okay, thanks very much for that, Donald. So just to go back to that statement that we got from Minister McConnellogue, he said that following that meeting with HSE regional management, which included Tony Canavan, and I put it directly to him because I was concerned I might have misremembered. I put it directly to him that a commitment was made to review the decision. And the HSE will be meeting again with Donegal public representatives in the next 2 weeks when they've completed that review. So that's from a government minister, Charlie McConnellogue. This is Tony Canavan's interpretation of that conversation.
I met with public representatives from Donegal, including Oireachtas members, Regional Health Forum members, about 3 weeks ago. And at that meeting, I outlined for them the position that we had prepared for proposal. The proposal contained a proposed site in Sligo. I did undertake at that meeting that I would include with that proposal, when it was being sent to the department, a letter of which highlighted very clearly the surgical needs in Letterkenny University Hospital and the broader infrastructural requirements for the hospital as well. That was the commitment that I gave them at that meeting. And I subsequently met with them again yesterday and we've had further discussions.
Now, also, by the way, in case anyone, I just had access to Minister McConnellogue's press statement. He wasn't the only one that got that interpretation as well. I believe Sinn Féin's Padraig McLaughlin also was under the impression that the decision was being reviewed, when in fact it wasn't being reviewed. There was a letter to be attached to it making an argument for investment into Letterkenny University Hospital or its needs. So as you can imagine, that's all very, very different. Right, we welcome on to the programme a very busy person. That's Dr. Louise Moran, consultant anaesthesis. This is why I could never work in the medical field, Louise. If people just ask me what I would do, I go, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to refer you to my label. Consultant anaesthetist at Letterkenny University Hospital. Good morning and thank you so much for your time. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to listen to any of my chat with Tony Canavan. As I say, I know you're always very busy there. But if you did, before we talk about the meeting with the Health Minister yesterday, any reflections on it?
I got to listen to the majority of it. There was a small bit that I missed at the end. I have to say I was extremely disappointed with what he said, but I'm not one bit surprised. he seems to be arguing a few points. One, based on population, he didn't answer your question. He was vague. He said that people had to have reasonable access to a surgical hub, where the RCSI surgical hub clinical guidelines say within 120 kilometres. You saw the maps yourself, Greg, and you guys have posted them. By putting the surgical hub in Sligo, you're basically putting a line sort of somewhere between Letterkenny and Ballybofey and anything north of that. You're travelling 2 to 2.5 hours. I live up by Fannethead Lighthouse. It's a very long drive to Sligo Hospital. I've had to do it before. With one of my sons, and it takes about 2.25 hours from where I live. It is not accessible. So he really did a sort of politician's job on it, reasonable access. He was completely not following the guidelines, and he clearly never followed them 2 years ago. He ignored the population statistics that we have quite clearly presented. You know, and if you look at the health authority areas, you know, we've got 160,000 in our population, and they've got, it's not us versus them, but they have 114,000. He didn't address that. He completely ignored that bit of the argument, which is the main crux of the argument. He then said the second point is he had to be close to a major hospital. He acknowledged that we were both major hospitals. And then his last point was based on the fact that Sligo has ENT and ophthalmology services and we don't, and therefore will have greater use of the surgical hub. So there's a few things I want to say about that. First of all, in terms of size of number of cases going through day services at the moment in Letterkenny versus Sligo, they are almost comparable. Sligo is slightly ahead because of a couple of reasons. One, ENT and ophthalmology cases are quite high turnover, so they get quite high numbers. Two, we can't get the numbers through our day services because it's cancelled half of the time because they're putting inpatient people in trolleys in day services. We also have a second theatre in day services, which isn't utilised 3.5 days a week because West North West will not provide an anaesthetist to do that job. So we could increase our capacity and we could be treating some of these patients, and actually our waiting lists, our day services numbers would be higher than Sligo. On top of, that's just day services. If we look at our outpatients, they're equivalent at about 35,000 each. If you took an inpatient, we are 50% bigger. We have 26,000 patients to their 16,000 patients. So if you're looking from those points of view, mm-hmm. we're, you know, the statistics don't add up for...
But Louise, it seems though from the get-go, the only show in town was Sligo University Hospital. Because even with everything that has been submitted to HE since that, and all the arguments that have been made and the pressing from 171 plus signatories to that letter, seven Oireachtas members, with all of that considered, and this might be the bit I missed, if he were beginning the process again, would it still be Sligo? And he says, yes, it would still be Sligo. Even given the fact that he conceded the population argument, obviously criteria two, the both hospitals, right? And then you could seriously contest option three, not to mention that choosing Sligo disregards a number of criteria for surgical hubs to begin with, and i.e. equitable access to care, right, which you've already pointed out. And yet with all that, he still is of the view that if the process were to begin again, he would be recommending Sligo.
And I cannot answer why he said that. He clearly made the wrong decision 2 years ago, whenever he said it was. He made the decision 1 to 2 years ago is what he said, and it wasn't approved. At that time, he did not look at a business case for Letterkenny. There was a letter that went from our perioperative director to Galway, to the sale to director, as it was then, stating the reasons why we should have a surgical hub, because we had heard on the grapevine that Sligo was the preferred place. So we gave them the data and never received a reply. They never put the funds or the time into looking at Letterkenny as an option to compare it. And I think that's all we were asking the minister for. We want a data-driven, fair assessment comparing the two sites. And from what we can see, we think it's quite obvious that it should be in Letterkenny. We're not trying to be unfair here. We're just thinking of the patients that are travelling. And I think Dr. McGuinness discussed the two patients who are up in Fannad, because he's the GP in my area, who are now not electing to take the 2.5 hour drive down to Sligo once a month to have eye injections and are choosing to go blind instead because it's too much. They're 90. They can't do it. Mm. There are so many patients like that.
But Tony Canavan also rejected the suggestion that there are threats to services if a surgical hub is not located at Letterkenny. He rejected that outright, and he wouldn't entertain it.
Before I answer that, I just want to say one more thing about...
Of course, sorry, I beg your pardon, Louise.
Yeah, just the whole point that he made about ENT and ophthalmology seems to be... like he keeps changing his mind about what his argument is, but that seems to be the latest point that he's landed on. And saying that Letterkenny doesn't have as many services delivered. We have breast cancer surgery and breast surgery here, a large majority of which is done in day services, which we could do. We also have a much larger population of urology patients. So we have 170,000 people here needing urology services compared to, you know, a population of Sligo, which is 65,000. So we have a huge urology service requirement, most of which are done in day services. So I kind of was a little bit irritated when he dismissed Letterkenny, saying we don't do as much services as Sligo. We actually do more. We have colorectal cancer, we have breast cancer, we do huge amount of services here. So and loads of which could be done in the
but I got the impression that he recognized that though and talked of enhancing that with the ambulatory centre. In other words, you don't want a crappy little surgical hub. you want the all bells and whistles ambulatory centre. That's that was mentioned a few times.
Yeah, and I think you got him quite well because you said, when will that be delivered? And
there was no answer at all.
You and I know that in 10 years' time, we'll still be talking about an ambulatory centre. The ambulatory centre was actually approved in 2013, which included a floor of endoscopies and then a floor of day services for haematology and oncology patients. So this is just an extra layer onto it where they say, oh, we'll shove a couple of theatres on as well and that will keep them quiet. So the first two floors were actually approved and announced by James Riley when he was Minister of Health in 2013. And I see no building. That was 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was announced, approved, planning, everything, and it's still not being delivered. And I actually can't answer why. I think maybe it got diverted because of the flood, but there's no particular reason. So an ambulatory centre, he shot himself in the foot. Sorry, Tony, if you're listening. Like, it won't be delivered in the time frame. And as you were about to ask me, the surgical services in Letterkenny are in imminent risk of collapse.
That was said 15 years ago and it didn't happen.
Yeah, and I think the person that prophesied that was exactly right. And sure, maybe they predicted it a bit earlier, but it has come to fruition. We now have three permanent consultants left. They are under huge pressure. We are one of the busiest hospitals in the country. They are in the middle of the night doing urgent surgery on really sick patients that would not survive if they had to be transferred in an ambulance or would have a significantly poorer outcome if they had to be packaged into an ambulance and sent down the road to Sligo or Galway instead. So you cannot run such a busy service on three surgical consultants. They are at breaking point. So the service is at risk. It only takes one of those surgeons to become sick for the service to close down. And he implied that would have no knock-on effect for the rest of the hospital. And that is completely incorrect. The maternity services, which he said were...
There's no threat to them. They're greatly improved.
Yeah. And I actually took great offence at that because the maternity services in Letterkenny have never been criticised. And to say they were greatly improved would suggest that they were poorly managed before. The gynaecology services were hugely under-resourced, and that caused issues. And they have got huge resources since and resolved all of those problems. And the clinicians had been putting business cases in for years here, highlighting the extra resources needed to be put in for gynaecology. So from a maternity point of view, if you deliver here and you have a very large bleed or you have a requirement for a surgical intervention, this is what has happened in Enniskillen. They have closed the emergency surgical services. Women delivering there are then having to be packed up, having packs put on where they're bleeding and rushed in an ambulance and driven to Craigavon or Outlagavon, who are now not coping with the influx of patients that are coming in. We don't have any hospitals as close as they do in Enniskillen. So we're in a much worse position. So yes, the surgical services are at risk and the impact affects the emergency department. It affects the maternity services. More importantly, it affects the patient. So, you know, the poor little, 12-year-old boy with appendicitis coming from Malin Head has already driven an hour to get to Letterkenny and then has to drive another 2 hours on to get to Sligo, by which stage, you know, their outcomes are going to be a lot poorer.
Yeah.
And you know, people will die because of this. And he doesn't seem to realise this.
But we can talk about it yesterday. Obviously, the minister is in listening mode. I've spoken to her. And you certainly get the impression that she gets it. She wants the information and all that, right? My observation is this. Tony Canavan is incredibly clear on not only that he made the right decision, but he'd make the right decision again. And you're in a position now where, Louise, the health minister is going to have to trust the clinicians or have no faith in the head of the HSE in this area. That's the two options here, because he ain't backing down on it. So she's either going to say, right, I trust the consultants, But she literally has to cut Tony Canavan then out of the decision going forward because he would make the same decision again. And I can't see her doing that because she has to trust her top staff, does she not?
She does. But what we have asked is we have presented her with quite clear data, and we have asked her to request a data-driven review of the two sites for a surgical hub, because we do not believe that that occurred. Tony Canavan pretty much admitted that it never occurred. They just chose Sligo. He said that to you. They just chose Sligo, and he's not going back for no particular reason, apart from I imagine it would be time consuming and embarrassing and all of those sort of things. So we have asked her to go to review and request a business case for Letterkenny, looking at the same metrics at Sligo and compare them. That's all we're asking for her, from her. We don't want her to make an incorrect decision based on incorrect
information. But who would prepare that? Who would prepare that business case, though?
Yeah, well, who prepared Sligo's business case? I presume they got an external company like EY or PricewaterhouseCoopers or someone to do it. These sort of things don't ever happen for Letterkenny. We're never lucky enough to get people to come in and do those things for us. We have to scrabble on bits of paper and write it out ourselves. But whoever did the business case for Sligo, apply the same metrics and do it for Letterkenny. Then we're asking the minister to look at the two and actually make an objective decision. She was very, very good at listening to us yesterday. She seemed very fair. It was a very productive meeting. She is a minister that is going, that I don't know her, but I got the impression that she's very data driven. I think a lot of politics in Ireland are often, who do you know, who said this, who promised who that. But mm-hmm. I actually get the feeling that is not what she's like.
But when we spoke to her, she also pretty much exactly as Tony Canavan did, she played down the importance of surgical hubs, and she blew up the fact that Letterkenny needs an ambulatory centre. It needs the same approach that was applied to Galway. It needs a campus-wide review, right? And like she already had that was the approach she was coming at it, that surgical hubs about, you know, that carpal tunnel syndrome and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? And what you need is what she said was what Tony said. So they're on the same page, right? So I know you've had a good hearing, right? But she trusts, obviously, whomever she's engaging with locally for info, she trusts them enough to relate that to us. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I heard that interview, and she was very polite and very engaging, but I felt very much that Tony Canavan had been in her ear.
Well, that's what I was trying to say in a roundabout way, okay?
I'm more blunt than you. That's what she presented. We sent her our presentation a day in advance so she could look through it. So when we spoke to her, she actually had changed her tune, to be honest. She had changed her tune, and she acknowledged that there are cancer surgeries going on, elective hubs, there are gallbladder operations, there's endometriosis operations for gynecology. There's a huge selection. And I think what we pressed home to her is that Letterkenny is a hospital that is bursting at the seams, and we need a pressure valve now. And that pressure valve, that release, is going to come in the form of a surgical hub, because it is going to allow a huge amount of our surgeries and patients who are sitting in this hospital actually to have the surgeries whilst they go ahead and do this big hospital campus plan, which they desperately need to do for Letterkenny, because it has been underfunded and under-resourced for decades, and certainly under the time of Tony Canavan's leadership. And I'm sure you saw the information that came from Pádraig McLoughlin.
About the private hospital spends.
About the funding. So, you know, 5 years ago in 2020, we were spending €1 million on sending patients across the border to Ballykelly to have their gallbladder operation, or to have their carpal tunnel, or to have their breast surgery, or whatever, because we couldn't do it here because the hospital was too full. Last year, we spent almost 16 million. Mm-hmm. So since 2023, 23, 24 and half of 25, we've spent 34 million on sending people across the border.
A million a month this year.
Was that?
It's 1 million a month this year. Yeah. 1 million a month. Yeah. Bother shouting.
Oh, it's a huge amount of money, and it will be more than that. That's money that could be invested. Meanwhile, there are surgeons sitting here, and I'm not being rude, but when their elective surgery is meant to be happening, they're twiddling their thumbs because it's not happening.
But Peter O'Rourke talked of this, his twiddling the thumbs remarks 6, 7, 8 years ago. He's talked also, actually, you know, and the warnings have come from other consultants in this building 15 years ago. Now, I don't want to attribute them to them because they're in different areas of health now, and I'm not sure if they were said publicly or privately, but everything is coming to pass that we were warned about. Yes. That's the problem. And we're going to be told that no, what you need is this big master plan, this investment. And I'm not sure we can hold out for that. That's my concern, Louise, and that's why we've focused so much attention on it. I'm not sure we can wait. Who else are we going to lose from the hospital? What impact will it have? And then will it be the argument made that there's not enough demand? You know, you could use numbers then to say effectively, well, it's not really a Model 3, it's more of a regional hospital. Or, you know, if you want to start, you know, we have to make sure that we're fact-checking this live as we go, because that could be where we end up going, Louise.
Oh, absolutely. There are surgeons that have turned up for interview at Letterkenny looking for a permanent post because we have the posts there for them, and they've turned it down because they cannot get access to theatre. Mm. So we cannot attract the surgeons. So, I mean, there's two points to the surgical hub. One, all the data says we should have a surgical hub over Sligo. That's fair enough. Two, if we don't have the surgical hub, we will not be able to track the surgeons and the service will collapse. And that's the bit that Tony Canavan does not seem to understand.
No, he rejects that right out of hand. I've put it to him twice, and on both occasions, he contradicted it.
Yeah, I know. And he also said there has been significant investment in Letterkenny, significant uplift. So the uplift in terms of resources is the same across, you know, across all of the hospitals in the West Northwest region. And those resources have gone up because the government committed to safer nursing numbers across the hospital. So they had to significantly increase the number of nurses in all of the wards to make them safe. So you're not going to get more productivity out of that, but you will get a safer nursing. Yeah. Also, the NCHDs, the non-consultant hospital doctors, the IMO agreed that they could actually stick to the European Working Time Directive and not work 120 hours a week and try and work less than 60 hours a week and not work all these long shifts. So they've had to employ more junior doctors. That's where the increased resources have gone to, or a large majority of them. And actually, what infrastructure has been put in Letterkenny? So there was the new emergency department in 2012, and then a huge amount of money to repair that emergency department from the damage from the flood.
But your bottom line is also too, it's the spend per patient. And I mean, I know the minister was, again, I'm just concerned what the minister's fed, because I talked about funding on our interview. She says, well, you got 60 million over the last 5 years. Yeah. But, you know, it's from a different base, and still, we're still 4,000 odd short, 400,000, I think, odd short per patient. Per 100,000 patients than Sligo, for an example. So just talking about the investment, 60 million sounds fantastic, doesn't it? Or is it 60%? Mm. Sorry, I have the figures here beside me.
But 60%. 60% increase,
right? Okay, so 60% increase. Let me just quickly reference that, because I don't want to put bad information out there. But the point being is that we're still behind Sligo. So in 2020, we went from 156 million to 249 million. That sounds fantastic, but Sligo went from 159 million. They're still ahead of us in 250 million. And then the spend per patient, 100,000 patients, 6,900,000 for us, 11,300,000 for Sligo. How do you make that up before you even start talking about where you're going to go?
I mean, you look at the majority of any bill in a hospital is usually
wages and pensions.
Is usually people's salaries. So they have a huge number of resources. And the Model 3 hospital report that Michael Suger is writing, the data coming out is shocking. So they have a much larger number of consultants per head of population, much larger number of junior doctors. Trainees that go there, nurses, allied health professionals, secretaries, management, across the board, they are better staffed. So that's where the money is going. I'll give you one example that's maybe not relevant to this, but this hospital has no acute pain service. It is the national, international standards that any acute hospital with surgery should have an acute pain service, which requires an acute pain nurse who is qualified in the area to go around and see the patients with the help of the anaesthetist. We have asked and put business cases in over the last 10 years for an acute pain service. And the reply from Tony Canavan and his team has been, where are you getting the money from? Almost like he expects me to go out in the street with a bucket and collect money to get this nurse. I'm like, I don't know, you're the managers. And he's like, well, you don't have one, so you can't have one. So I did point out to him that there is one in Sligo, Mayo, Roscommon, Portiuncla and Galway, and Galway's got three or four. And he said, just because the other hospitals have got one, it doesn't mean you can have one. That's not a business case. You know, gave him all the data about how it will improve patients' lengths of stay with acute rib fractures, with all of this stuff, and showed how it would work. But they're like, but you don't have the money, so you can't have the money. I was just like, oh.
There has been a black hole in funding, which means that we'll never have the money for anything.
There needs to be a massive reset. So even with this activity-based funding that's coming, there would be a significant uplift in the money coming to Letterkenny. But they actually retrospectively need to look back at the fact that the number of staff per head of population, per inpatient in Letterkenny is one of the lowest in the country. And it's just historical neglect. And, you know, and he said that Letterkenny had improved significantly in the last 10 years. And I disagree with him. I joined Letterkenny in 2012 and it was a breath of fresh air. No offense, I've only worked in one other hospital in Ireland and I didn't train here, but I worked in Galway. Now, Galway is the second busiest hospital in the country and it was absolutely flat to the mat there and it needed significant investment too. And it was a very disorganized hospital. So I can understand why he, as the CEO, now REO, has put a huge amount of time and effort into trying to sort out Galway because it is the regional hospital. But he is the REO for a number of hospitals, including Letterkenny. So he, I feel that under his guidance, that Letterkenny has taken a significant downturn.
Okay.
There were never people on beds everywhere in trolleys. We didn't have many cancellations. In fact, the cancellations that happened when I first got here is because we'd done too well and we'd done too many operations and Peter O'Rourke had done too many hips and knees. And come November, we had to say, okay, no more hips and knees. Let's do other minor things instead because we're too efficient. Yeah. And now the hospital has imploded. So actually, I don't agree with him. The only improvement that has happened is in the resources in the gynecology department and the maternity theatre has opened. So those were two really significant things that have happened.
It took an awful lot of campaigning too.
They're fixing the leak on the roof so that we don't have water pouring on the ICU.
So what are you complaining about then? What are you complaining about? They're fixing the roof, Louise.
I know. And like, maybe we don't have water going in through the theatre, the lights in the operating theatre, which I know Sligo put into the news and maybe we were a bit naive because we didn't.
I know. And that was well orchestrated. That was well orchestrated too because they timed that with the health minister landing down to Sligo. But listen, that's the way it has to work. Why are we relying on you guys to do PR spin to try and get better working conditions? It's crazy. Louise, thank you so much. Thanks for the work that you do under the pressure that you do it. It's life-saving stuff. It's really not insignificant. It's massive. We appreciate it, what you and your team are doing. And we also appreciate you finding the time in all of that to advocate for us, because that's what you're doing. So thanks so very much indeed.
Okay.
Have a lovely day.
Bye-bye. Positive news. Thanks.
That's definitely what we want. Bye-bye. And thanks again to Dr. Louise Moran, who's on duty at the moment and was able to spare the time to give her reaction to our interview with Tony Canavan, but also their meeting yesterday with the medical team. And the takeaway from it is that she found that meeting with the health minister very positive. But she said after listening to Tony Canavan, she's now not so hopeful, which is potentially problematic. Hundreds of your comments coming in. Really appreciate them. And lots of positive comments, which I kind of find a bit awkward reading out, but I do appreciate them. Greg, the problem with all these big decisions is that they take so long that we'll have several more Tony Canavans and several more health ministers before anything is done. This is why the surgical hub has taken on such importance, because it's a deliverable project. It can be time framed, it can be funded, and it can make a difference. And that's why now everyone's talking about the surgical hub. That's its significance. With